Brother Cadio, God bless you for your ministry. And God can take and someone that probably people would look at and say, boy, you know, here's an idol worshiper worshiping false gods. He'll never amount to anything until God gets involved. And when God gets involved, it's amazing what he can do with people who just want to be used of God. Take your Bible, Psalm 106, Romans 9. Psalm 106, Romans 9. I'm going to try to finish up, church, what I started last week. Try to cut some of this out for sake of time. Got to jump right into the main subject tonight. Psalm 106, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 43. All right, Psalm 106, 43, would you stand? We're going to read verses 43, 44, 45, and then read Romans 9 and chapter number, or Romans 9, verse 15. Verse 43, Psalm 106, many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, speaking of Israel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Now, that right there in itself tells us the condition and the attitude that Israel had toward their God. But I want you to look at, regardless of what their attitude was here, God said in verse 44, nevertheless. That's a good word in the Bible. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. Now, take your Bible, if you would, go to Romans chapter 9, Romans 9 and verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, last Wednesday, we learned several things about the repenting side of God. And here in Romans chapter 9, verse number 15, God says, I choose, as God, I reserve all rights to have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I reserve all rights to have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And so with that said tonight, church, I want to finish up what we started last Wednesday night talking about the repenting side of God. Now, Father, we commend the service to your hands. Have your way. We pray in this meeting tonight, thank you for what you have done in our hearts, how we've been stirred and excited about this dear brother and his ministry and what you're doing there in Africa and around the world, using this dear man and many others to follow you and obey you in the will of God for their life. Now, bless the preaching of your word, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Now, church, let me just quickly remind you that from last week that we understand that the word repent in the Bible has kind of a dual meaning, but yet they are basically converged with one another. We learned last week that the word repent also has a part of its definition. It means to have deep sorrow or remorse. And we're going to look at a couple of examples here in a moment. But it also means to change one's mind regarding conduct. And we're going to find out that God exemplified both. Now, we learned last week that there are several things that God is inflexible on. For instance, we understood that he is inflexible on his word. And so when God says, this is his word, and thus saith the Lord, that's the way it is. He cannot and will not go back on his word. So when the scripture says that God repents of something, it doesn't mean, well, for instance, when God says in Malachi chapter 2 or chapter 3 and verse 6, where he says, I am the Lord, I change not. What he's saying there is not that he doesn't have the flexibility to change, but he does not change his person or his being. He is God. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is Creator. He cannot change that. Now, but he does reserve the right and the flexibility to change within his will. You can take and look if you'd like, not now, but later in your devotion time, Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. There you'll find the story of Balak and Balaam. Remember that? Remember, Balak had literally hired Balaam to do something to the people of God. He wanted Balak or Balaam to curse them. Well, when he went up upon the mountain, he says, I'm going to bring you up so you can see them, so you can give a good cursing. Well, unfortunately, unfortunate for Balak, when God brought Balaam up there, he didn't curse them, he blessed them. And Balak says, what are you doing, man? I brought you here to curse me. He says, well, it's too late. What God has done, he's not going to repent of. He said, listen, the word is gone forth. God is not changing in that particular area. And so some areas, God is inflexible. He's inflexible on his word. He's inflexible on his will. By the way, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So his will is that all be saved. Now, he's inflexible on his way, too. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No flexibility there. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No flexibility. So there is no such thing as a change of repenting when it comes to the ways of God in that manner, or his will and his word. But there are some areas of God and in his plan and in his purpose and his provisions, he has the operation ability and is very flexible in those particular areas. Now, I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and I want you to go to Genesis chapter 6. Go to Genesis chapter 6, because the first time that we see the word repent associated with God, we find it in Genesis chapter 6. Now, you'll recognize it when you get there as that portion of Scripture dealing with the times prior to the flood. Now, as we know, mankind had gotten out of hand. And if you'll notice in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then I want you to notice what he says in verse number 6. The scripture says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Now, one of the things that we've learned about scripture is the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And so we believe everything stays in context. So the Bible is about to define what God means by repenting here. And if you'll notice there, it says he repented that he had made man on the earth. And here is the interpretation. It grieved him at his heart. You see, he had deep sorrow. Listen, he loved man. He had created man for fellowship. He wasn't necessarily willing to wipe man off the earth as much as he was that man would follow him and fellowship with him. He was sorry that man had chosen himself over God and decided to follow his own wicked ways. And so he had repented. It grieved him that man did not fellowship with him, that man did not worship him, and that man desired himself rather than the service of God. You see, God was enjoying none of these things that man was involved in. And so he freely chose here to make the statement in Scripture. He said, it repented me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I remorse over the fact that man's choices, he's chosen to go astray. Take your Bible, go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Remember Saul, King Saul, the people said, we want a king, we want a king. Guess what God let them have? They got a king, right? But I want you to notice here, the king that they got. You know, sometimes you really think that you want something and you find out that many times what you get is not what you wanted. So God let them have a king. They chose a man by the name of Saul to be king over Israel. And God allowed Saul to become king over Israel. Now, to make a long story short, if you look at chapter 15, verse number 11, remember Saul disobeyed God. God had given him instructions of what he was to do. And he did not follow those instructions. He lied about it. Then he tried to blame the people. Then he tried to say, wait a minute, God, it can't be all bad. I saved some of these animals. Look how wonderful they'd be for sacrifices. You see, isn't it amazing when God calls us on the carpet, we always try to point out things that are positive about what we've done about sinning against God. We seem to always try to point out the positive things, so hopefully God will kind of, you know, look the other way. Well, he's not going to look the other way. But in this particular case, I want you to notice 1 Samuel 15 and verse 35. The scripture says, I said 35, didn't it? Verse 11. Look at verse 11. Let's read that one first. He said, well, look at verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me. I'm sorry. I'm in remorse. I regret that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me. He hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Go to verse 35. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. So what I'm trying to say to you tonight, church, is in this instance that God allows in his goodness, in his grace, to be able to extend mercy on whom he shall extend mercy, and to show comfort and compassion on whom he will have compassion. You see, he can operate. He's flexible within the plan, the purpose of God. Well, we're not going to turn here. I'm just going to give you two quick ones here, and then I want to just have you jot some things down. We'll be done. Remember Exodus chapter 32, them scoundrels, Israel, impatient, not desirous to wait on God's will, decided they'd make them a golden calf. Now, the sad thing about this whole story is the preacher helped them do it. I said the preacher helped them do it. And so they made this golden calf and worshiped this golden calf. God was not happy. Matter of fact, he said, listen, it's time to go down into the camp here. And Moses goes down the camp, and that's what he finds. He finds them worshiping a false god. Now, wait a minute. Now, this is the same people that God had just brought out of captivity. This is the same people that had seen water out of a rock. This is the same people that had seen manna fall from heaven. This is the same group that God had blessed over and over and over again. And now you're going to worship a golden calf? Well, God says, well, I better have it with these old boys. I think I'm going to take them out. Now I want you to listen. Exodus chapter 32, verse 14. The scripture says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. You say, what do you mean? You mean God changed? Yeah, he sure did. Now we're going to learn here in a minute what caused him to change. You see, the thing about it is, you say, you mean God wanted to take him out? Yeah, he wanted to, because he had the flexibility within the overall plan to do as he pleased, right? Now, if God says that he has the right to show mercy on whom he will show mercy, then the opposite of that, then he has the right then to judge whom he judges, right? So see, just for every positive, there's a negative. So just because he says that God has the right to show mercy and compassion on whom he will show mercy and compassion, he also has the right to turn then and judge someone because of disobedience, which is what he did to Saul, and removed him from being king. Well, let me give you one more under this. Remember old Jonah? Jonah had some instructions, go to Nineveh. There's fixing to be a great revival. Jonah said, I don't think I'll be going to Nineveh. God said, okay, fine, have your way. He said, thank you, Lord, I figured you'd see it my way. So he got on a ship heading to Tarsus. Didn't expect what was going to happen. Because, you know, a lot of times God will let you have your way, but you're on your own. Yeah, you're on your own. And listen, if he'd listened to God, he wouldn't end up with a 3-day vacation in the belly of a whale, no, would he? But he got that free of charge and then got regurgitated up. And God says, now, would you mind going and taking it? I will. I'll go take care of business. Now, I want you to listen. He didn't preach a long sermon. He basically told them, get right or you're going to die. That's basically, go check me out. That's basically all he said. Listen, he was still as unconcerned for those people who were the enemies of God. He wasn't necessarily concerned for their soul. So basically he says, hey, I got a word from God. Repent, turn from your sin, or you're going to die. So he leaves. Guess what happens? They turn from their sin. Now, listen to me. God was going to judge Nineveh. But in Jonah chapter 3, verse number 10, the scripture says, "And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Now, here's the amazing thing. God has the right to change in spite of you and I. And then may I say to you that when God decides to exercise this wonderful flexibility, he doesn't have to ask anybody or get anybody to sign off on it. And then when he does, nobody has the right to complain. Right? Because it's going to work out all within his plan. You see, there's just some things that we're just going to have to trust God on. And see, here in Nineveh, there were unsaved heathens who turned to God. They turned from their evil ways and violence. Oh, may I say, they repented and turned to God. So therefore, God repented and withheld his judgment on them. You see, may I say to you tonight, church, that here is an example of God's mercy. And God's mercy, listen to me, trumped the stubborn spirit of a believer. Jonah wasn't concerned about them being saved, but because of the mercy and compassion and love of God, you had a stubborn preacher, God's love trumped him. His mercy trumped him. His compassion trumped him. Why? Because he's not willing that anybody should perish. He's willing that all should be saved. And he was willing to save Nineveh in spite of a backslidden, stubborn preacher. Now, with that said, let me finish this and say, give these things to you. You'll jot them down. What causes God to repent? What do we find in Scripture that causes God? Well, first of all, let's look at the aspect. What makes God sorrowful? What makes God, like Genesis 6 said, 6:6 said, that it repented him, that he had made man, and it grieved him at his heart? Well, we know in the New Testament, the Bible talks quite a bit about grieving the Holy Ghost of God, doesn't it? Let me just throw some things out real quickly here of some of the things you'll find in Scripture that grieves the Lord. First of all, unrepentant sin. Unrepentant sin. Now, you got a perfect illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 because you got a fornicator. A fornicator in the church, and so he's approached about getting right, doesn't want to get right, so guess what God does? The Lord says, all right, Paul, here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul might be saved in the day of judgment. So they turned him over. But you know what? The thing about it is it made God sorry. He was sorrowful that here you have somebody that was unrepentant of their sin. Because God wants us to get right. He wants us to be right. May I say to you that disobedience to God's word causes deep sorrow and remorse with God. That was what Saul did. God said, utterly destroy. Saul said, yeah, but look at all these good-looking animals. Look at all these things that can be used for the Lord. But that's not what he said. He said, I want everything destroyed. He disobeyed. It caused great sorrow. And what did God do? Out of his repentance, out of his sorrow, he removed him from being king. Refusal to fellowship with God causes deep sorrow in the Lord. You know, Israel kind of fit this pretty much to the T. Just refused to fellowship with God. And I don't know about you, I read and study the history of the nation of Israel, and I don't know about you, sometimes I just sit my Bible down and go, what's up with you people? Do y'all ever do that? You think, what is it that you don't get? Now, you say, preacher, what if you lived in that day? I don't know. I don't know. I think splitting the Red Sea might make a little impact on me. Would it you? That's kind of one of those life-impacting experiences. I think it would make a little difference. Didn't seem to make a whole lot of difference to them. But the fellowship, he wanted fellowship with them. And because they refused to, it caused great sorrow. Great sorrow. Matter of fact, so much he said, it repented me. Repented me. That I've chosen this stiff-necked, stubborn people. He wanted to destroy them in Exodus 32. And boy, listen, that was the climax of the epitome of blasphemy, was worshiping another god. Hypocritical worship and service sorrows God. That's what Cain did. Hey, it was pretty evident to me in Scripture what the right sacrifice was. Cain decided, I'm not sacrificing that. I'm going to sacrifice what I want to sacrifice. And God rejected him. How about an unforgiving spirit? I think that causes deep sorrow and remorse with God. You can go find that about the unjust servant. Remember, he's forgiven a great debt. Probably a debt somewhere in our day of $2 million. He goes and has a guy owes him $2, and he grabs him by the throat, throws him in prison after he'd been forgiven of his great debt. You know, I think God is not happy. I think it sorrows God. And I think sometimes, listen to me, folks, how could we imagine in our heart if we stood before God practicing these things? Can you imagine a God in heaven saying, it repents me that I've made that individual. It repents me. I'm sorry because of our life and our testimony. Listen, isn't it a shame that too many Christians have become a liability to Christianity instead of an asset? They become a liability instead of an asset. Now, let's finish this thing up and ask ourselves a couple of questions here. What causes God to change his mind? What are some of the things that causes God to change his mind about his conduct? Quickly, go to Exodus 32. Quickly. Exodus 32. Now go back there. Remember, here's Israel. Built an idol. God says, well, you know what? Moses, won't you? I'm just going to go ahead and take them out. I'm going to wipe up the entire wilderness with them, and I'm going to start over with you. Now, I want you to notice Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and, wait a minute, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent? Wait a minute now. Here's the man of God said, Lord, repent. Repent. Change. But wait a minute, did you notice he built a case for it? He said, listen now, Lord, you brought them out of Egypt. You brought them here to this land. He says, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own hand. Boy, he's starting to call now. He's starting to bring up some facts. But the gist of what I want you to get here is this. You know what changed God and changed God's conduct about wanting to take Israel out? Prayer changed God's mind. Prayer changed God's mind. Hey, can I say to you that you know what? Prayer can change a lot of things in life. You know, listen, the thing about it is we ought to pray that God would protect us. He can protect us and provide for us. He can extend mercies to us. Hey, listen, I don't know about you. I like tapping into the mercy of God. I like tapping into the mercy of God and appeal to God's will to save. Hey, listen, folks, I'm telling you, there's some of you here tonight that have lost loved ones. You may be standing between them and an eternity without God. You see, remember I told you there's some things that are inflexible. Once a person dies without Christ, God can't change that. There is no repentance. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and snitch them out of hell and give them a second, third chance. Once they die without Christ, it's over. There is no repentance of that. He cannot change. Let me tell you something. I wonder if your loved one, a mama or daddy, made you be just a prayer away from God saving their soul. Don't turn there. You can study this out in your devotion time as well. 2 Kings chapter 20. Remember a king by the name of Hezekiah who fell sick? Remember Isaiah came to him and said, King, I thought I'd just bring you some news. What's that news? Get your house in order. You're fixing to die. What? I want to die. Yeah, you need to go ahead and get things over. So I'll see you at your funeral or I'll be back. Okay? And so he leaves. Now listen, Isaiah's leaving. So here's what Hezekiah does. Hezekiah begins to weep and begins to call on the Lord. And he begins to remind God of some things that he's done for the cause of God and for the cause of the Lord. You know what God says? Isaiah's walking away. He says, go back for just a minute. Boy, go back. I want you to tell that. I want you to tell that king. So he goes back and tells Hezekiah. He says, here's what I'm going to do for you. He said, I've heard your cry. He says, so what I'm going to do for you is this. I'm going to extend your life 15 years. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was on the brink of death and I thought and I heard someone come and tell me, get your house in order, you're going to die, I'm probably going to plan on dying. But you know, before that, I'm going to ask God and say, please, Lord, is it possible? Is it possible to change your mind about this? But God saw his heart, gave him 15 more years. Wait a minute, didn't change his mind about Hezekiah was still going to die. He just extended it 15 years. And I wonder how many of us tonight would want an extension of 15 years if you knew you were going to die 2 weeks from now. You see, that changed. Prayer changed God's mind. May I say to you, a cry of repentance and mercy? Many times, over and over and over, Israel would do wrong, and then they'd cry out to the Lord. And you know what the Bible would say? God heard their cry. And he would minister to them. He would come to them. A cry of repentance. How about the satisfaction of God's purpose? 2 Samuel 24:16, remember David numbered the people. And because he numbered the people, you know, God is so good. He said, listen, I tell you what, I'm going to give you a choice of what kind of spanking you want. I'm going to give you a choice of three. And David just threw himself for the mercy of God and said, Lord, just do what you please. And God sent a pestilence and plague, killed 70,000 people. And listen, the angel of the Lord was taking it out on Jerusalem. You know what? The scripture told God, God told the angel, he said, no, you can stop now. He said, I've repented. He said, well, that's enough. 70,000 people had died. Let me give you one thing else. Turn, if you would, to Lamentations 3. This will be done. We'll be done here. Lamentations 3. Okay, look at Lamentations chapter 3. One of the things that you'll notice there in Psalm 106 that changed God's mind, did you see there? He remembered his covenant. That covenant means an established agreement and contract. That means it's a deed sealed and executed. See, God had covenanted with Israel to be his people. He had covenanted with them to give them a land that flowed with milk and honey. He had covenanted with Abraham that he would be the father of all nations, that he would not be destroyed. And I want you to notice Lamentations 3, verse 22. Lamentations 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies. Isn't that what Romans 9:15 said? He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion, there's the second word. Here, Lamentations 3:22 mentions both words God used about his flexibility and his desire that, hey, to operate within his plan and purpose. And here, the Old Testament, right here, Jeremiah uses both words, mercies and compassions fail not. Let me say this to you and I'm done. You see, just as God remembered his covenant with Israel and repented, remember the word nevertheless? He repented of the evil and what he was going to do to judge Israel. He changed his mind, not based on prayer here, but on the covenant that he made. And let me remind you tonight, born again believer, just as God remembered his covenant and the flexibility to change his mind and his conduct, just as God remembered his covenant to Israel, may I say to you tonight that when he looks at you and he looks at me, he also looks at Calvary and sees the shed blood of Christ that has been applied to you and I and our sorry soul. And may I say to you that he remembers the covenant. He remembers the agreement, the contract through Jesus Christ for your soul and mine. No wonder. It's amazing that we're not consumed. You know why? Because God remembers the covenant. You say, well, what if we mess up? I said, God remembers the covenant. He remembers the shed blood of Christ. And may I say to you, it may be just that may have kept some of us alive to where we are today. It may have been your desire to serve God. It may have been your desire to live for Him the rest of your days is maybe the reason that you're alive today. Hey, let me tell you something. Hezekiah picked up 15 more years. I wonder how many of us that 2011 could be the end. I wonder how many of us 2011 could come the close to your life. I don't know about you. I just make it a habit every day of saying, Lord, whatever you need to do with me, whatever you desire for me, here I am, because I sure want longevity of life, because the more life you give me, Lord, the more opportunity I'm going to have to win souls, the more opportunity I'm going to have to minister to family, the more opportunity I'm going to have to do something for God. I'm just here to tell you tonight, church, that you know what? We serve a great God who, within His plan, can have mercy on whom He will have mercy and compassion on whom He will have compassion. Would you bow your heads tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many would say,